Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, what a great God we serve. Thank God He's touched many up here right now, this moment. God's not done. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 16. Just remind everybody, when you please park in the back parking lot, do not hit that fence. The neighbor is frustrated at her fence is being pushed in. So please be careful. You don't want to mess up the paint on your car anyway. So please stay away from it. All right? Just quickly. Reminder of that. Judges chapter 16, verse 20. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. God, right now, I pray, Lord, that you just use your servant. God, just speak to every heart here tonight. I know, God, that you want to speak to some hearts in this place. Hallelujah. Lord, you are a great God and you are a loving God. And Lord, I want your will to be done in every life at this place tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you tonight the foolishness of Samson. The foolishness of Samson. Folks, before I get started here tonight, I want us to understand here tonight. And if we look at the life of Samson, it's very similar to ours. Now, I'm not saying that you're going out and you're messing with sin with sexual desires, although that may be part of it. But I'm talking, you look at the life of Samson and the sinful sexual desires as sin. Okay? The story of Samson is one of the most memorable yet most tragic stories in the Bible. Born to a couple that had experienced the pain and shame of being barren. You see, it was very important for a Jewish family to have a child, especially a son. And so they experienced the pain and shame of not having any, being barren. And Samson was the result of a direct intervention by the angel of the Lord during a time of national disgrace and rebellion against the Lord and the oppression by the wicked Philistines, complete with the strange command that this child was to be a Nazarite from the womb. This baby would grow to be a judge who would deliver Israel from their oppressors. And tragically, Samson is a lesson in squandering one spiritual heritage. He was squandering spiritual gifts after Samson lives a self-centered life of lust and the worship of power and the worship of pleasure. The Lord leaves Samson, and Samson doesn't even know it. You see, stripped of his power, stripped of his freedom, stripped of his dignity and his sight, Samson, folks, is a source of entertainment and jokes for the pagan Philistines. You see, but God wasn't quite finished with Samson. When you read in Judges 16:20, we find, "But he did not know that the Lord had left him." We look at Samson, his prolific life, and wonder how it was that the Lord was ever able to use him and was ever able to even bless him. But when we look at Samson in the manner that we forget that God is sovereign, amen, and his grace is poured out to the undeserving at all times, amen. Did Samson deserve all the power? Did he deserve all of the strength that he had? Did he deserve all the victories he had? No, he didn't. We do not, folks. We do not deserve any of the blessings which God routinely gives to us either. The story of Samson goes from the blessing of God upon the young man to a story of Samson where we see him pursuing a Philistine woman for a wife. You see, both of his parents, they sought to correct Samson. They sought to help him to understand. But you see, he dishonors the authority in his life. He dishonors the leadership in his life. And God, in Judges 14, was using Samson's rebellion. Hear me tonight. God was using Samson's rebellion, and he was using Samson's lust to bring judgment upon the Philistines. Folks, understand. God uses sinful, rebellious people for his purpose also. You see, this is not a license to sin. Trusting that God will use us like he did Samson while we do what we want to do. But this should help us understand that God's grace and God's sovereignty and are so powerful, hallelujah, that his will be going on to accomplish one way or the another. It doesn't matter what you do, his will, his way is going to be accomplished. Samson's violent and often sinful exploits bring him to a point of trusting in the untrustworthy Delilah. Time and time again, we see her betray Samson's confidence, yet he does not stop giving her his affection. Amen? I'm telling you what, folks, the world's going to mess you up. They're going to come against you, but so many people still want to play with the world. They still want to give their affection to the world. And eventually, he tells her the secret of his hair, and he is caught in that trap. Folks, Samson's, hear me tonight. Samson's power did not lie in his hair. It was not magic for him. The hair, folks, was a symbol of his Nazarite vow and the symbol of his trusting in his God, which is the source. When you trust in God, it is the source of supernatural power. Samson had lived his life under a vow that either he did not understand or he grew to so accustomed to that he took it all for granted. He let sin take over his life so that he became powerless, blind, and he became a slave. And I asked you tonight, the question for Christians today, are we so weak? Do we seek to apply this passage to our lives? Have we gradually become so enslaved by the world that we don't even know the Lord has left us? But we all know of times in our lives when our hearts have grown cold, when we have lost our first love for Jesus Christ, and we begin to toy with the Delilahs of our age. We begin to mess around with sins. We begin to mess around with things we have no business being around. You see, Samson kept the sign of his vow. He kept on looking like an apostolic. He still had his long hair. But let me tell you something, folks. He lost the relationship with God and ultimately the power which God had given him. Maybe we sometimes trust more in a symbol of our religion than in the Savior himself. And I believe, consequently, we lose the power of the Spirit in our lives. Let me tell you something. You can look the part all you want. It doesn't mean you have God's presence in you. We can get so used to our slow backsliding that we don't even notice that the Spirit of God has already departed and we are simply following our own path. Suddenly we realize that we are trapped. We realize suddenly we are enslaved. All of a sudden we realize that we are blinded and we wonder what happened. Now we find Samson. He's with this woman. Like a fool, he had told her that his great strength lie in his hair grown long as a Nazarite. He said in Judges 16, verse 17, that he told her all his heart. And he said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I had be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. The Philistines, folks, were the enemies of Israel. They were waiting silently outside the door. I'm telling you, this world is waiting outside of your door tonight. They're ready to take you down. Amen. They don't love you like the church loves you. They don't love you like God's people love you. They're ready to take you down. Samson whispered his secret to this woman, and she made him sleep upon her knee. As he slept, she called for a man who come in and shaved Samson's head. You see, his strength left him. Then the woman cried, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. In Judges 16:20, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord has departed from him. There are lessons here for Christians and sinners alike tonight. You see, the story of Samson can be warning to you tonight, and it can cause for concern in your heart. First, folks, I want you to understand, the Bible says Samson was asleep. Why was Samson in such a deep sleep that he cannot even feel the razor on his head? Why was this sleep? Is it a picture tonight of the dullness of his soul? Most likely God sent this sleep as he did when he put King Saul and his men asleep. Neither Saul nor his men knew when David crept up and took Saul's spear. In 1 Samuel 26:12, so David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's boister, and they gat them away, and no man saw it nor knew it, neither awake, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. You see, sleep is often pictured in Scripture as a judgment from God. In Isaiah 29:10, for the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of a deep sleep and hath closed your eyes. In Romans 11:8, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. These verses, folks, show that God can harden the human heart as a judgment for unbelief. The deep sleep that fell on Samson, like the sleep of Saul that slept of the sleep of Israel, was a judgment from God for continually rejecting him. Could that have happened to you tonight? Could it be that God has given up on you, as he gave up on the Pharaoh in the book of Exodus? How can you know whether God has given up on you or not, folks? The answer is simple enough. Will you wake up? Will you wake up tonight? Amen. Will you see your need and come back to Christ, or come to Christ tonight? Or will you continue on a state of dullness and spiritual slumber? You say, what can I do, Pastor? You can pray. You can pray, can't you? David prayed. Psalms 13:3, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. And if you would pray like that to God, God would soon hear you, and God would soon awake you from the sleep of death. The time to be awakened is now, folks. The time to call on God is now. Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seek him now. Amen. Call upon him while he's near. Amen. Judges 16:20, and he said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep. Listen, Samson awoke, but he awoke too late. Samson awoke out of sleep, but it was too late. That's what happens to the rich man in Luke 16. The rich man died and he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. He woke up, but he was woke up in hell, folks. He woke up in torment. I'm telling you, that's where the world wants to take you. The world wants to take you and torment you and destroy you. The enemy is after you. He's after you to destroy you. He was not awakened to the realities. The rich man was not awakened to the realities of another world until it was too late. Now he awoke, but he awoke in judgment. He woke into the flames. And in hell, folks, he lifted up his eyes. Matthew Henry said, "See the fatal consequences of security. Satan ruins men by rocking them to sleep, flattering them into a good opinion of their own safety, and so bringing them to mind nothing and fear nothing. And then he robs them of their strength. He robs them of their honor and leads them captive." Samson awoke too late. He was taken away captive in Judges 16:21. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters and brass. And he did grind in the prison house. You see, if you wait too long, you will awake too late. The devil will take you and he will blind you with chains. He will put out your eyes and you will grind in the prison house of hell. In Revelations 14:11, "And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night." In Judges 16:20, "And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." Do you think like that? Do you think that you will have another chance to repent? See, Samson thought he would. He thought he'd go out just like any other time. He thought he could just go to church and go up to the altar and pray through and speak in tongues anytime he wanted. He's just going to get up and go to church tonight. I'm just going to go like I always did. And things will be just like they always were. But this time it was too late. He was wrong. His time was up. His strength was gone. It was too late to repent. In Judges 16:20, the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. He was captive. And that will happen to you as well if you awake too late. See, he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. What a shame. In Judges 16:20, and he said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and he said, "I will go out as other times before and shake myself." And here it is. "And he wist not that the Lord has departed from him." Wist in the old way of saying he knew. He knew not that the Lord had departed from him. Think about this tonight. What will happen to you when the Lord departs from you? Think tonight, folks. You may wish that you could return to this night. If God departs from you, you will wish over and over and over again, "If I had another chance." You need to return while God is near tonight. You need to return before it is too late, as it was with King Saul. He called up Samuel for guidance. In 1 Samuel 28:16, "Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee and has become thine enemy?" God became Saul's enemy, folks, because he had left him. He had departed from him. In 1 Samuel 28:20, "Then Saul fell straightway along on the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength in him." Will you fall to the earth in fear when God departs from you and becomes your enemy? Saul found no salvation. Saul found no forgiveness. Saul had sinned away the day of grace, folks. The Lord had departed from him and had become his enemy. Samson said, I will go out as other times. There's plenty of time. I can go to church next Sunday. I can go the Sunday after that. And he ran out of time. God departed from him and he hadn't even noticed it. I can always be saved later. I don't need to get saved right now. I got too many things I want to take care of. I got too many things I want to do before I get saved. I can always get saved later. There's no need for me to be concerned tonight. Judges 16:20, and he knew not that the Lord was departed from him. See, I realized that the analogy between Samson and a sinner person is imperfect. I understand that. Yes, Samson had one more chance, but it was only at death's door. His other chance was only for his death. It was the only chance that he had again. Let's stand in this place tonight. You see, like the thief on the cross beside Christ, he repented at the last moment. You see, your last chance may be on your deathbed. But there are very few instances of this in the Bible. See, it is best to take Samson's story as a warning. And so I warn you tonight, folks. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. I pray that it's not too late for you. It's a scary place. It's a scary thought to think that God would depart from you. You would not have that chance again. You would not have the power when things come against you in this world and take you down. When the enemy comes to take you away captive, you will be powerless against them. You see, there was a time in Samson's life, folks, when he would wake up out of that sleep and the power of God was on his life and he would come against things that come at him. And I dare say every one of us here, we've had times when God has come through for us and won battles for us and taken care of us and blessed us. But I wonder tonight if there's some of us that we've been playing games with God. We've been messing with the world way too much. And there's a time that's coming in your life that you think you're going to shake yourself like every other time before. You're going to find that it's too late. Where's God at? Where is God? I need him. God, they're taking me away captive. The world has got a hold on me and it's dragging me down. Where are you at, God? Where are you at, God? I need you right now. And now you don't even realize that God has left you. What a scary place to be. The foolishness of Samson. Does it apply to you tonight? This altar's open. Come on. Samson probably wishes he would have never walked into Delilah's house that night. He probably begged God, Lord, just give me one more chance. I don't care if it's at death's door, but God, I need another chance with you. God, I need another chance tonight. God, help me. God, I don't want you to leave me alone. I need you, God, right now.